It is time for us to join Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com on the web. Let us say good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Is it just you?
I don't know.
I don't hear.
I'm in the other room.
I don't hear the other guy. He's not there.
Gregory. I can't help you.
That's all right. Well, what the heck? We'll just forge ahead, and sooner or later.
Okay.
Sooner or later. It says he's connected, but there might be something up with his microphone. All right. Now, I have been ordered. I have been ordered by the chief.
The powers that be.
The chief. The power. The power that be.
The power that is.
That's right. Jill gave me an article from Financial Times. Auctioneers bid to clone live experience. Houses enter experimental phase as they seek to reproduce online the glamour and adrenaline of physical sales. Have you seen that article yet?
I have not seen the article, but I have seen similar articles that both Christie's and Sotheby's, especially for their fall sales, they are really trying to make this a television experience event. Even though you can't be there to bid in person, they want to recreate this as if it were a reality show, basically. And how is that going to change? And I think that that's great for social distancing and for the, the virus and everything. But I think it's going, I don't know how that's going to translate after. And will this change everything? We're in a very interesting place. And I think what they're trying to do, and I would imagine what the article is the point that it's making, is that they want to make this as exhilarating as attending an auction live and try to get the drama in there by going back and forth between the auctioneer, getting close-ups of the telephone bidders, who else is bidding, show the screen, show the bids going up. I mean, there's a lot of different things that I'm assuming that they are going to try and do that they didn't have the ability the last couple times. They just had one stationary camera. And because you don't have people in the room, this is the big thing, because remember, and I can share this from doing Cash in the Attic and Antiques Roadshow and, all the different shows that I've done, is that when you do a live shoot, you also have to get permission from people to use their likeness on television. And if you just have the staff that's in there and they all sign off, of course, then the television and the cameras can go back and forth to multiple people. So I think that's... It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this transpires, because it truly is updating the auction experience.
Well, it looks to me like what they're doing is a tighter control. When you see all these automobile auctions, they've got so much glitz and other things. It's like the biggest live Mardi Gras event that you've ever seen. And they go back and forth, and they pump up the excitement, and they show anything that's related to cars. They go over the history of cars and everything like that. I'm looking at the picture that they have in here, and it's got to be hard because even if you're inside, you've got to have a big enough space to do this in. You've got to have 6 feet in between everybody. But I'm looking at the picture, and I don't know how well. I think with younger people, and when I say younger, I mean 40 and under.
Under 40.
Yeah,
right.
There's no problem with it. But I think that people that are used to going to auctions, and I'll just say like 50 and over,
sure,
it's something that they would probably have to learn to live with.
Correct. I would agree. And here's the difficulty, is not only is it difficult for the live auction, but just this last Friday, we did a virtual event for a fundraiser for a social services organization in Norwalk, Connecticut. And it was to benefit all of the different programs that they do in Fairfield County. And they do some great work from foster care to caring for the homeless, for elderly visits and, food and children, very related. And we did it live. I was live here in Hope Sound. And the difficulty becomes making sure that everybody can get onto the system. So whether it's a fundraiser or whether it's an auction, once, and I'm above 50, I can say this, is that I'm a geek even, and I understand this, but it is also starting to challenge my geekness of, wait, how does this work? What are we, just tell me where to talk. Just point and click. Make it easy. And I think that what we're going to find out is that these programs are going to come out that will make it easier for people to bid and attend events like this, where this virtual event in Connecticut did really well. They surpassed their goal. We really did well. We had a lot of people participate, which was great. And it becomes a viral event too, because they can then spread it out and send it out to people who might have missed the event, but then can watch it at their leisure or give at another time. When it comes to these auctions, I think that if you're over 50, you are wanting to touch it, you're wanting to smell it, you're wanting to see it, depending on what it is that you're buying, you want to kick the tires a little bit, and you do want to see that. There's the tactile thing that we've become accustomed to as collectors. That has gone away a little bit. And I think what the auction houses are doing is that they're taking away the fear a little bit by saying, please call, make an appointment, come in. We will socially distance. You can view this at any time, so that it takes the that ambiguity out of the equation. Then you have to deal with now the technology of placing a bid, and how do I do this, and who am I bidding against? And I think that they wanted to, because they can use other cameras and they can also use the phone bidders, they're setting up studios in their bid room. And if you watch, and I've seen this on Christie's and Sotheby's both, is that the phone bidders, they're all separated. They also have Plexi in place. The auctioneer is there. They also show the screens that the auctioneer is using. And if there are any absentee bids that need to be executed by the staff, then they are there to put those bids in. And I'm just watching this and thinking, my goodness, this is becoming more of a production than it ever has. Because in the past, it was just more of a live event. Everybody shows up, and let's just hope that the currency conversion board doesn't go wacky and that we make sure that we know which lot we're on and where the bid is. Now, there's all this other stuff that goes into it. And I think that we're going to see that this may change the larger auctions. But even these large auction houses are putting a lot more, let's just say, bulk of items online. And they are realizing, hey, this is how we make money, because they didn't know how to do that 20 years ago when they entered the whole digital age. They kind of let it lie, and then it just didn't go anywhere. So now we're seeing more of these bulk sales online, and then the truly events, those are the things that are going to be happening live. And you're going to see that. At the end of this month, Sotheby's is doing their major sales, and they're doing it around the world. So they're doing a big sale in Paris. They're doing a big sale in Hong Kong, and they're London, and they're doing a big sale in New York. So in 4 days, you will travel the globe from home.
What's interesting when I look at this story, they show a timeline of auction sales. And and of course, in November 2009, with the big financial crisis, revenues went from very, very high, almost I think it's about $12 to $13 billion dollars, down to just about I think it was $1 billion. And then when COVID-19 came along, the revenues were somewhere around $13 billion, and once again now down to $6.4 billion. So I guess, you know, looking at a drop off like that, and the scale not really rising high, something had to be done for these auction houses.
Correct. And what they're doing is they're just, for especially for the live sales, is that when they're televised or streaming, I guess it's the stream of what they're doing, They're not doing these. I mean, usually the night sale, you might have 100 lots or 120, 115. They're really scaling it back to maybe it'll be under 100 and it might be 75, but that's really curated, really items that they know that are going to sell, and putting more online. The interesting thing is that what I'm sure that the article doesn't go into is that they're talking about the higher end of the auction market, but a lot of the regional auction houses and the local auction houses, I've been talking to a lot of my friends and they said they're having the best year ever because a lot of people are looking to either downsize, sell, you know, you're in your house, you're like, do I really need all this stuff? Well, you know, people are looking at things and saying, hey, you know, maybe I could sell this because I may need the cash. So you're seeing that. I don't think that, and I'll take a look at that article, but it looks like they're looking at one segment of the marketplace. But I think what we're also seeing is that in these other segments, which would be your local auction house or your regional auction house, is that they are actually showing that this is going to be probably the best year that they've had because they've had to. They're smaller, they're nimbler, they can pivot a lot easier and say, okay, oh, here's where the trends are going, let's go. This is what we need to be doing. So I think it'll be interesting to see where this all ends up by the end of the year. But I'd like to talk next year about this and say, wow, this is where the pivot was, and this was the change, because now you have these big sales that are going to be these big streamed online events.
You know, what's interesting, the main quote in the article, which I find, because I know it to be true, is you just can't point a camera at something or you just can't talk about something. And what, here's the main quote, which comes from a guy by the name of Doug Woodham. And Doug Woodham, this quote, and it's so true, banging out 20 compelling videos for every evening auction is going to get expensive. But that's what you have to do if you're going to create the excitement.
Correct. Most definitely. And that's what I think that they were trying to do with just one camera and just focused at the auctioneer. But that becomes, you know, people have a small, a very short attention span. So that becomes something that needs to change. And then they started, oh, hey, why don't we pan over, have two cameras and one can go to the phone bidders and then back to the auctioneer and the screen. But now you need a production crew. Now you need a director and somebody to call cues and to call the shots and where things are going. So it really, but if you want to have a compelling show and if you want to put something out there that's going to increase the bidding and increase the people that are watching and keep that attention span, you need to have something that's going to keep changing. And I think that that's what we're going to see. And I think you'll see that at the larger houses until the costs can come down and a production company can put it together and say, ah, here, we figured out the best way that we could do this in the least amount of money and the quality is there, that's when you'll start seeing it in your regional auction houses.
Yeah, you know, all I could say to people is compare this, and I didn't know this. There's a show on the Food Network with Guy Fieri, which is called Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Well, he goes out there and he visits, you know, all these places. His crew that comes with him for this show, his crew involves a producer, an executive producer, and six camera people.
Yeah.
And because they realize they just can't point a camera at food or a guy.
No.
They've got to do a million different shots and come back. It's almost like creating a documentary where you go out and you film for 100 hours and you come back and you put together an hour documentary.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, when I was doing Cash in the Attic, we would do 10 hours of filming for a 30-minute show. And we had two camera crews. We had two sound guys. We had, you know, two or three other people on set that were helping. And that was scaled back. I mean, it was pretty incredible how we were able to do it. But that's really what it's going to come down to. And the other thing now mix into this is a live event.
Yeah.
So it's something that you have to have rehearsed and practiced. Even the live stream that we did, it was a 30-minute, we put together a little show and we had videos about the agency. And then I was the only live component. And even with just me coming in three or four times throughout the show, we had, there was a producer that was in New Jersey who was streaming everything to, you know, out to the web. And Greg was my stage manager, and I had somebody here. Our friend Loretta was here helping write down names so that as donations came in, I was able to say, you know, thank you to these individuals. It's not something that can be just done like that. It's people, you know, they don't realize. And when you watch it and it's real slick and you see this, it's like, wow. You know, a lot of people don't realize all the hard work and all the number of people that it takes to make that look so slick and entertaining.
All right. Well, Jill gave us a good topic because we're out of time. We talked for 40 minutes.
See that? Wow.
Now, I hope Greg's all right, and we've got to get him back on his phone next week.
Yes, yes. Well, we've been having a really bad yesterday. Our electricity was out for about 5 hours. We had thunderstorm, lightning. So I know, and we're still having some rain out there. So that's, I think, what the interference is.
All right. Well, we'll speak with you guys next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week, Marshall.
Take care,
buddy.
Bye bye. Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio.